This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
We are concluding this series today, Before the Sun Goes Down. We've been looking at anger and forgiveness. We've looked at the biblical ethic of anger, which is be slow to get angry and be quick to get rid of it. We've talked about forgiveness, and last week Shay talked about quarreling and fighting. And today we're going to get very practical. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 3, James 3. We're going to look at the tongue today as a fire and this powerful, destructive force that we have to get some very practical wisdom and skills from the scripture on. And I'm calling it only you can prevent wildfires, because how many of you remember this guy right here? Okay, I grew up with these commercials, and it's pretty cool. If you go online, look up, they've redone these commercials for A New Day. And, you know, they teach you, and I didn't even know this was a big issue, but when people are towing something and their chains drag the ground, those create sparks, and in wind start fires. So Smokey the Bear pulls the people over, twists the chains, put them back on the truck. But the one I like is when he teaches us how to put out campfires. And he says, you know, you go down and get a bucket of water, you pour it on the fire, and a lot of people think the fire's out. But what do you need to do? He teaches them. You got to stir the coals a little bit, go down and get another bucket of water, stir it again, get another bucket of water. And as I've been thinking about that this week and how it relates to James, I think a lot of us in this series may think, you know, I did my part. The Bible tells us to make every effort. Did I make every effort? Well, okay. Had a problem in a relationship, had a fight or a quarrel. I said, I'm sorry, asked for forgiveness. The person forgave me. That's it. That's that first bucket. But I wonder how many of you can testify to a time in your life when you said, I'm sorry, you were forgiven, or the other person said, I'm sorry, you forgave someone, and then you poured that bucket on. But then if you were to come back in a little bit and stir the coals, there were still some embers ready to ignite. There were still some sparks that would come out of that. And here's a question I've been asking myself, and I want you to ask yourself as we go through this message today. Is there more I can do? Is there more I can do for this relationship? Is there more I can do for reconciliation? We've talked a lot about anger and forgiveness and reconciliation, but is there another step that I can take? I'm not saying go back and beg for forgiveness, or I'm not saying say I'm sorry again. If you've said I'm sorry, I forgive you, but I'm wondering if there's another couple of buckets of water we can pour on a heated conversation that we've had. I have a friend, not in this church. I have to really be clear on that these days, because people are constantly, were you talking about so-and-so? Were you talking, this, you won't know this person, some of you might, but every text message I get from this individual ends with these three emojis right here. Because everything in my friend's life is on fire. It's lit. It's lit. Every meal he's had is lit. Every movie he's seen is lit. He'll watch a message and go, the sermon was fire. And I'll have to be, no, it wasn't. It was okay. It was maybe a single, possibly a double, but it was no way a home run. And I've told our church, you don't need home runs to win the game. You need singles and doubles can win the game. And I've told him, stop. You're just, everything's just on fire all the time. Bring it down a notch. And today, for some of you, I want us to really think about, what can I do to bring a cool head to a heated conversation? What can I do to bring down the temperature just a little bit? And here's, James is going to give us some powerful, powerful word pictures to talk about the tongue and how powerful it is. Then he moves to how destructive it is. But your tongue, my tongue, has the power to direct the course of our lives. You can maybe think back on a conversation that you had with somebody that got you a job. And maybe that job started a career. So just from the power of your words and that conversation got you a job. Some of you are also thinking about a time your tongue got you fired. It can take you in another direction. And that's what James is going to establish for us in James chapter 3. He talks about the tongue being powerful with two great word pictures. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, so think about a very small bit, think about a 1,000-pound animal. You put this bit in the horse's mouth, to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So he's establishing here, it doesn't take much, something very small, to set the course. Then he moves into ships, and he says, Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Okay, your tongue is powerful. Your words are powerful. Your conversations have the ability to set the direction of your life. But then he moves in the next verse to not only are they powerful, okay, they are destructive. And here's where we get the fire. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest, a wildfire is set. A great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. Now, he does not hold back his words here. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life. So there it is again. That's why I love that language, setting the course of our life. It sets one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. We'll get back to that in just a moment. When I think about the forest fires that you and I have been a part of in our lives that James points out, I think of them in three ways. The first way would be fires that I start, that my tongue started. When I moved to the Ozarks over 25 years ago, we moved down T Highway about 5 miles, and there were these giant cedar trees that I was told they had to come down because they were encroaching on the power lines. And so I had them taken down. I grew up outside of Chicago. We didn't have cedar in Chicago, and they sat there for a little while, and I'm like, I finally gotta get rid of these. I'm gonna start them on fire. And don't work ahead of the stories today. So I thought, I'm gonna get a little gasoline to get these things going. Bring it down and not, okay, we're not there yet. So, but I've watched enough videos, so I poured probably on each one, probably a gallon or two of gas, but I did the line out from the gas, or from the pile, and I lit it, and it didn't start a fire. If you know, it was an explosion. And I didn't know, I don't know anything about cedar trees and fires. I was a young guy. And I mean, am I exaggerating when I say 40, 50, 60 feet in the air? No. 40, those power lines we were trying to protect are now engulfed in flames. My face is beet red. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Amy comes running out on the porch. And I scream, call 911. And she yells, I already have. Fire, is there anybody here have to call the fire department because of something stupid you've done? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Wow, look around the room. That's embarrassing, isn't it, when they show up? Because here's the problem with cedar trees. When they show up, there's no evidence. Like cedar goes up so fast. I got this little campfire going on right there. They ask, is everything okay? I got no eyebrows, but I'm like, we're good. Why are you even here? I got this all under control. But there are fires that I start, and I have to take responsibility. And as we talk about the tongue being a fire today, let's start with personal responsibility, each one of us, and think about the fires that we've started. Because you know there's some in here that you were sent to detention, suspended, or expelled because of your uncontrollable, destructive tongue. Mom and dad had to go find a new community to get you a new school. Don't raise your hands. I got a long list here on things that the tongue did. Some of you, your tongue got you ejected from the game, kicked off the team. It wrecked a marriage. It destroyed a reputation, yours or someone else's. It ended a family gathering early. It costs you a raise or a promotion or your job altogether. It keeps you from getting invited to neighborhood parties. It not only ends family gatherings early, but you're not even invited to them anymore. You get deleted, blocked, unfriended, ghosted. It ended a first date early. It kept you from getting a second date. Why? All because of words. All because of this uncontrollable, destructive force called the tongue. So that's the first type of fire. But then there's a second fire that I think we need to spend a little time on today. And they're fires that I didn't start, that somehow I step into, and I can be a part of extinguishing. And I just think of social media today and just the nasty way people go at each other. I just wonder if we can do a better job putting some fires out that we didn't start. right? And I keep going back to Billy Joel's song. I didn't start the fire. No, we didn't light it, but we tried to fight it. There's some old people in here right now. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, London, Winston, Joe DiMaggio. If you don't know what I just did there, ask your parents. But so we say things like, don't add fuel to the fire, or that was a real dumpster fire. I love when I get home from work, right? And we're like, I'm putting out fires all day, right? Because there are a lot of fires that you get brought into that they're not your fault. You're not to blame for them, but you're in a position you can do something about extinguishing. So that's the second group. And that's really where we're gonna spend most our time today on these first two. But there is a third type of fire. And I think about like the Palisades fire in California. There are fires that I didn't start and I can't extinguish, and all I can do is evacuate. And I'm not gonna really deal with that today because our church has dealt with, I love Gary Thomas's book, When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. We talk a lot about when to walk away. That's not the purpose of today's message. So let's talk about taking responsibility for fires that we start, the forest fires, the wildfires that we start, and let's also talk about the ones we didn't start, but maybe we can possibly put out. And some of you, before we jump in, maybe a disclaimer, go, well, I read James and this seems pretty strong, but I wouldn't describe my conversations as a fire, but you know they're heated. You know the temperature is raised and you know you can lower the temperature. There are sparks, but maybe the fire hasn't ignited yet. So this is gonna be five ways today, starting in James, that we can prevent wildfires and lower the temperature of our conversations. Bringing a cool head to conversations. And number one, we have to start with where James starts, with the tongue being set on fire by hell. And Jesus is clear. You understand that your words are not random. Like they don't just come out of nowhere. The Bible's clear. Above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. Meaning every word you speak, every action you take, it flows from the heart. And so that's where we have to start with this conversation. Start with your heart. If you don't like what's coming out of here, deal with it right here. Ask yourself, what is going on under the surface of my words? Jesus says this in Matthew 15:18. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. That toxicity, have you ever bumped into somebody and they're just like right off the bat? I used to think, what did I just say? What did I just do? No, I just bumped into them. What's coming out of them was already in them. And Jesus says, these defile them. So we must start with the heart and deal with what's going on. I think about understanding, like, why was that outburst there? For me, it's often a lower lip quiver. Our family just did some traveling this summer and we were on a trip and I did the crazy idea in England. I decided I will rent a car and drive 10 and a half hours on the wrong side of the road, on the wrong side of the car with jet lag. And it was not good. I was tired and I was doing that thing for the last 5 hours where if you rest one eye at a time, that really helps, right? I'm like doing that for a little bit, then doing that for a little bit. How many have ever done that? And it just makes it worse. And when you get to the point, you start slapping yourself. But I was a little punchy at the end of 10. I was stressed driving for 10 and a half hours. I was tired. My eyelids were so weighted down. And my family, when they wake up from their naps in the car, we're like, why are you in such a bad mood? Like, well, because I didn't get a nap. But do you understand? You have to be able to process that. I'm tired. I'm hurt. I'm fearful right now. I'm frustrated. That's what we mean by taking a look at what's going on here. Don't blame the other person when your outbursts take place. Don't blame the other person. Take personal responsibility. Your words are not random. They reveal the condition of your heart. And James says that the tongue is set on fire by hell. Think about this for just a second, which means that the tongue is powerful and destructive, yes, but it's explosive and uncontrollable. And you and I have this force that's in us that is directing the course of our lives. But here's the good news. Christ transforms us and the Holy Spirit empowers us to bring this uncontrollable, destructive force under control. And that's why I keep coming back. Charles quoted it, and I'm glad he did, and I know that's the Lord working in our messages. But in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's a word David Nasser, when he shared it reading this passage, it just jumped out at me this summer, and I've been thinking about it a lot as I've watched people in our church, I've watched people in our community who've experienced life change. Like, and they are new creations in Christ Jesus to go, this is really something to behold. This is something to behold, right? Because if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things, the way you used to talk, the way you tore people down with your words, the way you made yourself out to be better and stronger than the person on the other side of the table, the old ways of communicating, those have passed away. Behold, new things have come. 30 years ago when I started in ministry, I was in South Georgia, and it was a small church, but there was a gentleman in that church who came to know the Lord late in life. His name was Doug Hurd. We called him Brother Doug. And Doug was just known in town for being the mean one, just mean and could cuss you and could tear you down until Christ got a hold of his heart. And you want to talk about radical transformation in Christ Jesus, it was something to behold. And he became one of the kindest, most compassionate men I've ever met. And I don't know if you remember this. Remember when church, if you went to a small church growing up, the pastor would, you know, end his sermon and he'd walk down to the back to shake every single person's hand, but he'd call on someone randomly to pray. Anybody remember that in your church growing up? We're gonna start that here. I don't even know you. That'll clear out these front rows real quick, won't it? Lead us in prayer. Anyway, but I can remember, I didn't know. I just thought, all I knew, I never knew old Doug. I only knew new Doug. And I remember finishing preaching one Sunday night and I walked off the stage and I tapped Doug on the shoulder and I go, hey, Brother Doug's gonna close us out in prayer. And I get to the back and he still hadn't started. And then I listened real close and he was on the front row crying, just weeping. And we had a moment. I'm like, I'm gonna give him a second to collect himself. He couldn't do it. So transformed. And when I think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faith, and self-control, you know when you are a follower of Jesus and filled with the Spirit, it's not that you're supposed to be working on like two or three of those. It's like the Spirit is bringing that out in your life. And I remember I prayed from the back. He walks to the back. I go, Brother Doug, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. And he just stuck his head in my shoulder. We're talking about the town brawler. Now the town baller. Because of what Christ did, let me tell you, it was something to behold. And if right now you're sitting with family and friends who are like, my dad is so mean. My mom tears my dad down with her tongue all the time. Or maybe you're the young person going, my tongue toward my parents is evil. Evil, the way I talk to my mom and dad, the way I dishonor them. I go into meetings at work, and my sarcastic tongue, the sarcasm comes from the word that means the tearing of the flesh. I rip people to shreds. Today, I wanna tell you, start with your heart. Start asking the question of salvation. Are you a born again believer in Christ Jesus? Has he made you new? Are you a new believer in Christ Jesus? Because this is what brings it to be. Now, here's what I love about James 3. Jumping back into James 3, let's go to verses 9 and 10. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. In other words, every single person in here is an image bearer of Almighty God. When you leave here today, every single person you lock eyes with is an image bearer of Almighty God, worthy of honor. So you can esteem people as highly valuable as image bearers of Almighty God. But then he says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. And this is what I love about James. James is often referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament. If you read commentaries, which I try to do on Thursday and Friday, I try to do the message and then the commentary. If you read commentaries and like, what is James saying here? The commentaries almost repeat word for word because they just don't need that much interpretation. I love what he says here. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. You, believer in Christ Jesus, you don't speak out of both sides of your mouth. You speak blessing. You have a redeemed life. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. That means you have a redeemed tongue. And through the power of the gospel and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to look at, okay, what will it take now to become that person like my friend, Brother Doug? And I know in every church, in every community, in every workplace, in every family, there's people who are different, difficult, and dangerous. And we at this church call those people extra grace required. There are gonna be some people this week you need to lean in even more to love and to care for. So let's get more practical now. Number two, you want to lower the temperature of a conversation and put some wildfires out, just become a great listener. It's that simple. Listen to understand the other point of view. Don't listen to reply. Listen to understand. The scripture is clear. Proverbs 18:13. To answer before listening is folly and shame. The fool is always spouting off, but a wise person is a great listener. Learn to listen to understand rather than coming up with your story. And years ago, I shared with you like dozens of types of bad listeners. I've kind of narrowed it down to five bad listeners. You've experienced all of these. Number one is the eye roller. Conversation comes up that you've had over and over and over again. You know the conversation always turns heated. You know it's gonna start a fire. And what you do is this, and it's real simple. It's just you going, ugh, not this again. But John Gottman says that the eye roll is the greatest sign of contempt in a relationship. You think you're eye rolling the issue, but you're eye rolling the person. You think you're saying, I don't want to talk about this again, but what you're really saying is, I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. It goes right past the issue into the core of the person. The next one, everybody has in their life a one-upper. This is the person that whoever you know, they know someone more important. Wherever you've been, they've been to better places. Whatever you've done, they've accomplished greater things. And for my senior friends in the room, be careful of this one. There's also the one downer. Have you ever told a senior friend how sick you are? And they're like, you're sick. You have no idea what sick is. Or the one downer. I'm feeling pretty tired. Amy and I do. We sometimes compete over who's the more tired one in the relationship. I didn't get a great night. I got a terrible night, right? You don't have to, just listen. You don't have to compare it to what you're going through. Number four, the sentence completer. If you're in a close relationship and you know what the person's gonna say and you get to the point you can finish their sentences, it's real simple. Don't. Number five, the hijacker. Now, I know as a pastor, I'm not supposed to punch people in the face, but is there anything that wears you out more? Is there anything that wears you out more than someone you're trying to share a story that cuts you off halfway to share their own? Stop hijacking the story. Right? Just let them share. I got to share some time, about 5 hours on Monday with a friend of mine from Wimberley, Texas. And I had other things going on, but Amy said, you got to clear your calendar and spend time with him. I think he's one of the nation's foremost expert therapists. We've been friends for 25 years. He actually helped us start the church over 24 years ago. And Amy goes, he's such a life-giving friend to you. And I went to be with him for 5 hours. I came home and I told Amy, you're right. How refreshing was that? He who refreshes others will be refreshed. She goes, what do you think it was? I go, let me tell you what Sean is an expert at. Number one, he's a therapist, so he knows how to ask great questions. But here's the key. He doesn't take the answer to your question to share now his point of view or his story. He asked follow-up questions. You want to become a great listener? Just start asking follow-up questions. Milk that person's story or point of view for as much as it's worth. And I'll just remind you, for all Republicans and Democrats in the room, listening to you doesn't mean I agree with you. Disagreeing with you doesn't mean I hate you. And healthy people aren't threatened by the opinions and feelings of other people. Follower of Jesus, we should be the best at conversations, right? Because the scripture guides us in this. So that's number two. Number three, focus on timing and approach, not just your words. And I can tell you this, my approach has gotten me in far more trouble than my opinions. My approach and my timing gets me in way more trouble than my words. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And there it is. You step into a fire that you didn't start. And there you are. You're like, I can do something right now. I can give a gentle answer or a harsh word. Because the harsh word is just gonna stir those coals up again to where you put a log on it and poof, we're right back to the campfire that we had. Learn to bring the gentle answer. And I wanna tell you, don't take this the wrong way. That has a 100% failure rate. Meaning if you tell me not to take something the wrong way, I can almost guarantee you I'm gonna take it the wrong way. So we have to learn. And so I've been working on Proverbs 15:23 a little bit. And maybe this will help you. Come up with your replies and your words for when people approach you. Like today, I know if you're in any sort of leadership position, you know you're disappointing people. And so there'll be criticism. And I've always been looking for the apt reply and the timely word for criticism. Okay, a person finds joy right? This should get you excited when someone's now criticizing you. I love Jared Coulter shared with me after the first gathering. He said, encourage our young people with this more because they see all criticism as bad and they need to run the other way or go to the other extreme where they just start talking and explaining themselves away. But I just want to encourage young people, come up with an apt reply in a timely word that takes personal responsibility. A person finds joy in an apt reply, an appropriate reply, and how good is a timely word? I found it years ago. I use it quite a bit when someone doesn't like something that I said in preaching or didn't like a leadership decision. They'll come up and they're going at me, and I'll look at them and respond. I think this is an apt reply in a timely word. I'll just say, tough but fair. Tough but fair. Meaning that stung a little bit, but I can see it from your point of view. Yeah, you got a different opinion on this, and doesn't mean I'm going to change any necessarily. But what you say is important, and how you say it and when you say it is more important. Number four, plead the fifth. I'm just kidding. See, I had to try that. No, wait, no. Number four, say less or nothing at all. Listen, people go, where do you get your jokes? You watch the news because they're throwing you softballs all week. And you just write it down. And if you're offended by that, I want to go back to, I will give you, if you're offended by what I just said, tough but fair. So say less or nothing at all. Look at all this illustration, how it ties in. Without wood, a fire goes out. So not only should you come into the conversation, stir it around a little bit more and pour more water. Let's get this thing out. Stop bringing fuel. Stop bringing logs to the fire. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Not everything requires a response, and you don't have to say everything that you think. Proverbs 17:27, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. So if you're that hot-tempered person, again, I want you to go back to point number one. We talked about hot-tempered in week one. It starts with the heart. Like reflect, what is the emotion? What am I dealing with that I keep having these outbursts? And learn to use your words with restraint. I'm kind of cracking up. I see the security team moving into position like they need to protect me after this message. It was one political joke. Okay. Number five, and finally, leave the conversation better than you found it. Now, this really comes into play with the fires you didn't start, but now you find yourself in. Some of you know, you already know you're walking into this tomorrow at work. You know there's gonna be an issue, and you have nothing to do with it, but you can be one. I think we have lost this type of training in the church and in our culture today. But what cancel culture did was people start attacking someone online, and everybody else is like, I know you're my friend, but I don't want to say anything. I'm not going to come to your defense. I'm not going to try to lower the temperature of that because I don't want to end up on that person's radar. You know how many radars I've ended up on because I was trying to defend or protect, defend, or just speak truth on a friend's behalf? I had nothing to do with it. And you know that the silence of a friend, it hurts way worse than the allegations of an enemy. Young people, don't worry about being canceled. Don't be stressed out about your name appearing on the Branson Buzz. Don't speak truth. Leave conversations better than you found it. Don't be the keyboard warrior that's gonna be, don't be that person. Be the one that leaves conversations better than you find it. Philippians 2:4, each of you look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. As a follower of Jesus, you are not just worried about how this affects you, but you have concern for other people and how it affects them. Remember how Smokey the Bear taught us to put out fires. Don't add fuel for sure, but be the person who puts it out. Let me give you two examples of how you can do this. Some of you are gonna be at a game in the weeks ahead, and in the bleachers, parents are gonna start going about the ref or the umpire or the coach or the player. You be the parent that ends that, that squelches that. Let me look at the parents and be like, your kid stinks, all right? It's not the coach. See there, I'm not even practicing the restraint that I got going on here. I apologize, I should not have said that. That's not lowering the temperature in the bleachers. But why don't you be the one, listen, you're like, I'm gonna stay out of this, I don't need it, but no, be a leader. Step up. You may not like the call, you may not like it, but you can, in bleachers, lower the temperature. How about at your next family gathering? You know what happens when somebody doesn't show up to a family gathering? They become the topic. You be the one that says, not here, not today. If we speak about this person, it will only be a blessing. We'll speak a blessing over this person. Those absent are protected here. So let me leave you with a prayer today. If you find yourself in a wildfire this week, or you start a wildfire this week, or just a heated conversation that maybe you're like, I don't see flames yet, that has nothing to do with you, you may just practice restraint and say nothing. You may need to speak up and say something. But here's a prayer I pray all the time, and it can be our prayer as we end today. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Guard my heart, guard my mouth. I don't want this powerful, destructive force ruining relationships. I want to deal with the anger and the forgiveness. We talked about that in the first, but remember, be slow to get angry, be quick to get rid of it. Speaking a blessing over one another this week, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for a difficult lesson. It's hard, and I need to practice this better myself and in preaching as well. I pray for the one who's never placed faith in Jesus, and they're the brawler. They're the one who tears people down with their words. They're the ones who is speaking a harsh word at all times and adding fuel to the fire, and they've never placed faith in Jesus, that today would be the day they repent of their sins, confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in their heart that he's been raised from the dead, that they will be saved. And I just pray for our church family. Let us be known in this community as ones that leave conversations and leave comment sections better than we find it. Remove fear from us of being placed on someone's radar, that we speak the truth and we're bold in putting out fires. And we pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen. Amen.